runs out. God's hot. Sometimes we grow weary and tired. Our love sometimes grows cold. We can be indifferent. We can face challenges in life. But Lord, your love never, ever gives up on us. God, thank you for that truth. God, thank you that you are forever faithful when we are not. Lord, as we look back over a year that has gone by in a blur, we see that your love has never run out on us. We see that your love has never failed us or forsaken us. Lord, we see that you have been good to us in the midst of some of the greatest joys and the greatest challenges. God, I thank you for this church family that you have blessed us this year. Lord, in so many ways, we'll talk about in a few weeks together, but Lord, just as we're celebrating the family of God together and baptisms and deacon ordination and praying over families, conclusion of our service, worshiping together, the word together, God, thank you for the privilege of being together. Lord, we love you. I pray you'd move in these moments as we dive into your word, Lord, that we'll be seekers of you. And when we come to a time of invitation in a few moments, I pray for those that need to respond to the truth of what we'll talk about today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, so glad you are here and chose to make this part of, I know, a holiday weekend. I'm glad you chose to be in worship. It's always scary when the preacher looks at the forecast a week out and it says rain, 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 and rain. And so every preacher prays, Lord God, just let it rain at 1 o'clock, not at 6 o'clock, so that maybe everybody can get here and not melt. And so I'm glad you're here this morning. Anybody happen to see anything new on the road driving by Petal First Baptist Church? You can see this sign again. Nobody thinks we're a bank anymore, maybe. They'll know that we're actually a church again. It's good to know. We finally got the LED lights in there. Now they put those in. Now the cross doesn't work, so we're gonna sure get that fixed this week. But the cross, there's a little cross light that's out, but we'll get that fixed. So something to outlive your life stuff. If you haven't had a chance, I encourage you, before you leave today, walk down the hallway here. The preschool kids' hallways, you can see the new flooring that's gone in. The painting, it just looks amazing as we continue to launch Outlive Your Life. Emphasis, hopefully sometime in January, we'll have new house lights in here that will be dimmable. They'll be good news twice, three times. Andy, where are you? Four times as bright, probably. So you'll actually be able to see your Bible, and that's like I have to do and squint. Somebody said, because that's because I'm old, but that's probably true too. But nonetheless, it'll be a lot brighter, and it'll be a great addition to our Outlive Your Life emphasis. We're going to wrap up our Christmas message series, but before I do that, in January, next Sunday, we're going to launch a brand new series that's going to take us all the way through the 1st of March, entitled Worth It. Now, we'll kick off next Sunday, kind of kicking off our Worth It emphasis, which includes Financial Peace University, FPU, it is often called. On January the 12th, I'm going to do my State of the Church message around this idea of Worth It. And then we'll kick into a three-part series called He's Worth It, You're Worth It, and They're Worth It. And then we'll do a four or five-part sermon series talking about money in general, not necessarily about giving per se, though as the background we're talking about, we're going to talk about God's way of dealing with money and how that's so very important. We understand God's principles about how money can be used in our lives for the good of the kingdom and for our own good. Obviously, it's that time of year, and some of you get your credit card bill next month, and you'll think to yourself, what in the world did I just do? I went crazy. How do I get out of that? I talked to somebody a few weeks ago. They said, there is no way. We'll be in debt for the next 20 years of our life. That's what I heard. Somebody not a member of our church. It's somebody else outside the church. I'm like, no, there is a way. There is a plan in place where you don't have to be in debt and be enslaved to debt your whole life. And that's what this FPU is about, the Worth It emphasis. And I want to strongly encourage you. I can't encourage you enough. And we stepped out on a limb, church family. I tell you, our prayer and our goal was 100 families to go through Financial Peace University beginning January the 12th. In small groups, Sunday mornings, teenagers are going to go through it. They have their own set of this curriculum, and then kids are going to go through it as well. And it's also kind of all on their level. And then adults, college students, and even I think juniors and seniors are going to go through the adult version of this 9 weeks together on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And then we have one other a couple that's considering doing one on a Tuesday or Thursday night here at the church to offer multiple options for you to not miss being a part of Financial Peace, okay? Now, I know it's $90. People go, oh my goodness, it's so much money. Normally, it's $130. Our church decided to invest $40 per person to make this a reality for every family. And we've ordered 70 of these books and the being a part of Financial Peace. I think we've had about 35 maybe that have signed up. So we got a lot more to go. We want to see you be a part of this. So I want to encourage you, get this before you leave today. I don't know if Brandon or Ben are here this morning. I don't think either of them are here this morning. So Chris or Melanie, one of us needs to grab that table. So we make sure we grab that. But you can grab your book, pay that money, and you'll get this book. And we'll begin January the 12th. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be life-changing. I talked to someone, one of the folks, our leaders have gone through it this fall. They've commented about it. I had one person say that they had paid off a credit card. They paid off a loan they had. And they had done some things. And they were able to even had established an emergency fund, had to spend it, but were also able to replenish that emergency fund, which is $1,000. And so it was a really cool thing. So I'm telling you, we're going to see some really cool stories. God's going to set some people free. Some debt's going to be paid off. Some folks are going to make some wise financial decisions. If you say, I'm not in debt, well, there's wise financial decisions you can make along that line. We hope to, towards the end, to make available to you some folks in our church who are way into this process and to step 5, 6, 7, and 8, who can give you some encouragement, some advice. They've said, hey, I'll be glad to help. And so we'll be glad to help you meet up with some folks like that to give you some encouragement along the way. So don't want to miss Worth It. It's going to be worth it. No pun intended. And y'all are not awake yet at all. Okay, it's good. All right. Want to get you away. We're going to start a new life group too on Sunday morning, another one. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic January 12th. So that means next Sunday, just worship only, okay? One more Sunday. We don't ever take 3 Sundays off from life groups. I don't like to do that, but it just worked out schedule-wise. So we'll begin January the 12th back with life group, worship only here next Sunday morning. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 25. We want to finish out our series, The Rest of the Stories of Christmas. Now we've looked at several people in throughout the story that kind of surround the Christmas story. We talked specifically last week about the Christmas story and a strange way to save the world. We've talked about Herod. We've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son, John the Baptist. We talked about King Herod. And this morning, I'm going to talk about two people who we know really very little about, only what these few verses tell us, two characters by the name of Simeon and Anna. We find this story about the Christmas story about 41 days after Jesus Christ has been born. We know that because 8 days after a child is born, they would be circumcised and given their name. And they were given, obviously he was given the name Jesus. And then the law required 33 days later for them to come and bring an offering, the parents, for that child, to present that child to the Lord. And so what's interesting to note is that the minimum sacrifice for the poorest of the poor were 2 turtle doves. That was a sacrifice that they could offer. Mary and Joseph, so interesting. The irony, come carrying the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sins of the world. Could not afford a lamb. They brought 2 turtle doves to present Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem as an offering unto the Lord. And as they encounter, as they come in, we see something extraordinary happen. We find these two people, perhaps pushing 100 years old or even older, in Anna's case, depending on how we know how old they were. But I want us to think about this. They're older. Ever thought about having a bucket list? Everybody know what a bucket list is? Everybody, raise your hand. I know what a bucket list is. Okay, a bucket list, right? A bucket list are things I want to do before I die. And there's a movie that was produced, 10 or 15 years ago, starring Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, called The Bucket List. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. It's a really funny movie. It's a tearjerker movie. But it talks about 2 guys, and they had a death sentence, really, at the end of the day. And they were going to, what are they going to do the rest of their lives? They make a list of 100 things he wanted to do. Here's the question I want to ask us. What would be on your list? What would be on your list? Now, invariably, all of us would have some common things, right? You know, some of us would say things like, you know, I want to go to Disney World, or I want to go to Hawaii, or I want to go places we would go. Some of you are crazy and would say things like, I'm going to go skydiving, you know, and like risk my life and, you know, get the guy like the AT&T commercial who's jumping his second time. That'd be my luck to get that guy. And so, you know, you want to go skydiving. You want to do things with your family. There's places you want to go, people you want to see, things you want to accomplish in your life. But you ever really stopped and thought, what would be on my bucket list? What would be something I would want to do? It's a really great question. As we think about a brand new year in front of us, 2020, obviously the pundits are talking about 2020 and focus and vision and all those kinds of things. We're in 2020 vision, right? It's our name of our what we did 5 years ago when we started this process of a 2020 vision. But even as a whole new decade lies in front of us, we think about this bucket list. What do we want to accomplish? What impact will we leave in the legacy of our lives? We think about these two characters, Simeon and Anna, perhaps had a bucket list, maybe the oldest bucket list in history. But the one question I want you to think about, really just one this morning, here it is. What or who are you seeking in your life? What or who are you seeking in your life? Who are you looking for, and how are you looking for them? And what are you doing to seek out that thing or that person or that endeavor in your life? Now, I can say one thing, but as before you say that, think about in your mind a moment, in your heart, does my life reflect that truth of who or what am I seeking? What's interesting, we find Anna and Simeon are seekers. What's also interesting to note is it appears that the day that Jesus is brought to the temple, that they were the only two people who were seeking out Jesus. Let's look in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said. Before I read that for just a moment, think about this mom and dad for a minute. Those of you who had a newborn, especially your first one, right? All of us, you know, we're a little protective of our first child. Y'all remember that, right? Anybody got near them, you got claws, you know, like don't touch them. You're going to give them a disease. You're going to give them the flu. You know, we were pastor and pastor's wife, obviously, and the pediatrician said you need to keep them out a long time because everybody wants to hold the preacher's kids' babies. We're kind of like, oh, no, don't touch our precious little child. By the time Gemma came along, whoever wants to hold her is fine. It doesn't really matter, right? You get to the third one, it doesn't really matter by that point, right? The first one, though, right? And then people like strangers want to come up and like hold your baby. Okay, they don't know Simeon. The humor here is quite funny. They don't know Simeon from a hole in the wall. They never met Simeon. And Simeon walks up unannounced because the Holy Spirit told him this is the one and takes him out of Mary's arms and says these words. Now, Lord, let me read it from Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul. To that end, the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at the very moment she came up and began saying thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Let's talk about their lives just a moment. Let's talk about Simeon and Anna together, about their lives. First of all, we see their loyalty. We really know nothing about them except the fact that Simeon was a faithful follower of the Lord. The Bible says here he was a righteous man, honest and a fervent worshiper of God. Simeon believed that one day he would see the Lord's Christ. Anna, she was also a passionate worshiper of the Lord. The word tells us that she was there day and night. She was there every single day of her life, it appeared, from the point after her husband had died. She prayed. She fasted night and day. Folks, if you ever fasted, it's not easy to do, but she was one who fasted regularly. She prayed regularly. She worshiped and served the Lord. This is a person who made no excuses for serving the Lord, no excuses for being a part of worship. How quickly, how easily we in this day and age make excuses and reasons of why we can't pray and why we can't fast and why we don't have time to worship and all these things that are so much more important, we think. We find Anna here being a faithful servant and worshiper of God. This wasn't just some one-day whim or a week trip she made to hang out at the temple for a week. This was her life. What was her passion? Praying for the promised hope of Israel to come. God, would you send the Messiah? She prayed. She sought the face of God. They were loyal to the Lord. Secondly, we see their legacy. Anna's name meant grace. Now, the Bible tells us that she was a widow. She had married her husband. They were married for 7 years. And then after that, he had died. She was 84 years old. Some say that perhaps maybe 84 plus the years that she was married and younger. So that some commentators believe she may have been over 100 years old. But at least she had been a widow for some 60 years. She understood suffering and pain, yet she had allowed that pain to draw her closer to the Lord instead of pushing her away from Him. She could have allowed the death of her husband. If you remember, the widows of that time were destitute most of the time. But she allowed it to make her better and not bitter. She didn't blame God. She chose to trust in the Lord. Simeon. His name is derived from a word that means to hear. Simeon was a man. His legacy was a man who was listening. A man who was listening for God's voice. We don't know anything about his birthplace, about his parents, about his wife or his kids. We know nothing about him. This is one of the things I loved about Scripture, this sense of anonymity. We often think that God only uses the Abrahams and the Davids and the Moses of this world and of the Bible. But the reality is God used nobodies, just like Simeon and Anna, that we know hardly anything about. But yet God chose to allow his son to be in front of these two people. Notice the third thing. They were longing and looking. They were longing and they were looking. Now, we just got through with Christmas, right? We have to have in our house, we had gotten away from this. We're back down to have to count down the days to Christmas, right? We got a little counter down clock there in front of the fireplace, a little snowman that counts down the days, right? We started at like day, I don't know. It seemed like day 60 or something. I don't know, like a long time. And we're counting down the days, right? Every single day, right? But the anticipation, right, grows as you're a kid every day for that day to come, right? Longing for it to come, looking for it to come. Oh, I can hardly wait for it to come. Magnify that to a larger degree. Simeon and Anna were longing and they were expectantly looking for Jesus to appear on the scene. For what does Scripture call Simeon? The consolation of Israel. The coming of the kingdom of God. The coming of the Messiah. Their lives were about to be forever altered. For that which they had waited and prayed for was about to be revealed before their very eyes. Right in the middle, notice dear friends, in the middle of an ordinary, average, normal day. No trumpets sounded. No angels appeared. Jesus didn't walk in with a halo around his head that so many paintings have from the Dark Ages. It just in walks common Mary and Joseph with two turtle doves holding a baby. But they were longing and they were looking. And notice they had not given up. They had gotten older in years. Sometimes in our lives we get older. In our lives we think, well, this hasn't happened yet or that hasn't happened yet. Can I give you a word of encouragement? Don't give up. Anna and Simeon continue to look for the Lord. So here's the question that really has burned in my heart this last week. Are you and I longing and looking for the Lord to be at work in our lives? Do we long to be in God's presence? Do we long to be with God's people? Do we look for ways for God to be at work in the everyday, ordinary, seemingly boring days of our lives? You see, God is at work. Christ is at work. The question is, do we see it? Are we looking for it? And even more, are we longing for Jesus to be at work in our lives? Notice the next one. He was listening. He was listening. In the midst of a loud and noisy world that we live in, that Simeon lived in, he was listening to the voice of God. God had told him through the Holy Spirit, somehow God had communicated to him that he would not die before he saw Jesus. The Messiah. So in the middle of all the noise of the world, Simeon was able to hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit whisper somehow into his heart and say to him, Simeon, this is the one you've been waiting for. Now here's our challenge, friends. Are we good listeners? Now by and large, most of us, especially if we're men, we're terrible listeners, right? We're distracted, right? We have that dreaded question our wives ask us. Did you hear what I just said? And we start praying, getting really right with God. Oh God, please let me remember what she just said. Please. Because we faded off into oblivion. We were chasing a squirrel. We were watching a football game. We were headed over here, whatever it was, right? And they're communicating to us. We're not listening. We're hearing, but we're not listening. Simeon was listening for God's voice. Here's my question. Are you listening for God's voice? People often say, well, you know, God doesn't speak to me. God doesn't speak that way like he did in the Old Testament. Well, dear friends, God doesn't speak in a booming voice like he did out of heaven when Jesus was baptized. You're correct. But can I offer to you God's word? He speaks to us today. The question honestly really is, do we slow down long enough to listen for his voice? Notice the next two. He was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. It's a great question to ask ourselves. Who is leading your life? That's a great question, isn't it? Now, immediately we'll answer, you know, because that's what we're supposed to answer. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, right? We can answer those things. But the reality is, if we look at our lives, is he really leading our lives? By the way we make our daily decisions, how we spend our time, how we raise our kids, how we treat other people, how we take our job, how we spend our money, how we spend our resources, those things really determine who is leading our life. So the question is, in Simeon's case, it says he was led by the Holy Spirit. So he had to be looking, he had to be listening, watching intently, longing for God to speak. Are we the same way? And lastly, when they finally got to see Jesus, they didn't say, that's really great. Awesome. Praise God. Kind of like we're all doing this really still and quiet, you know? Folks, I think, doesn't say this, so I'm stretching scripture a little bit, but I think they leapt for joy. I don't think they were just like, yep, there's Jesus. I've been praying for 84 years, and there he is. I'm just going about my day. You know, I think they were ecstatic. They were like the shepherds. They were like, he's here. Jesus is here. The Messiah has finally come. The one we've waited for, the one we've prayed for, the one we've longed for, he's finally here. Do you remember the moment when you met Jesus Christ, when you got baptized like these did? Do you remember the joy that flooded your soul? The joy that was unspeakable of the security of salvation, of knowing that there was a God who loved you and gave his life for you and died for you. He'd rather die without with you than live without you. And heaven flooded your soul, that joy. Do you remember that moment? Too often we forget it, don't we? We can get complacent and almost think that we're worth it. But in reality, we're really not. Hearts leapt for joy. The Redeemer had come. Listen, Simeon was so excited, he makes this bold statement. Think about it. Any of us say this, anybody said this to you, they're like, oh, whoa, easy now. Slow down there, Tiger. He's like, hey, Lord, I'm good to go. You can take me today. I've seen Jesus. I'm good to go. That sounds easy to say, but that's exactly what he meant. So let's go back to that bucket list for a minute. Just as my mind began to think and contemplate and wonder for my own life, what would I want to see in my lifetime and be able to say, listen to me, and be able to say, Lord, I've seen it. I'm good to go. Right? Too often we hold on to this life with claws, right? Because we live sometimes like this is all that there is. But folks, what lies beyond is so much greater than we could ever comprehend. Now, does that mean we all need to go and decide, well, I'm ready to go today? Well, we always need to be ready to go. There's no question. Longing for the King to come, there's no question. We sung about it. But we have to live every day in the life that God gives us, with the sense, though, that what am I living for? What on your bucket list that you would identify, would you be able to say, all right, Lord, I'm good to go? Just some thoughts. Would it be something like, Lord, this unreached, unengaged people group that we've adopted in Southeast Asia, when they come, we know that there's a presence and there's a church planting movement happening, then I'm good to go. Lord, when my best friend that I've been praying for years comes to know Christ, I'll be good to go. When I see revival and awakening come to America and the mockery that our country makes of God these days, and if I could see that, Lord. But here's the real question, church. This is the question I have to ask myself. How badly am I longing and looking for that to happen? There's a difference, isn't there, between just saying it and actually doing it. Maybe for your child to know Christ, for your child to serve Him all of their days. You ever stop and think that your child, your teenager, maybe even you, parent, adult, could be the one that God would send to go to the ends of the earth? Melanie's been teaching Emma since she was little bitty how to say our unreached people group name. I won't say them because I'm going to have to edit the video later, Jake, so you're welcome. Been teaching her how to say that. It's always easy to say that for somebody else's child, isn't it? What if it's yours? What if God chose your child? Would you be willing to let them go? What are we longing and looking for? Simeon gives a message very quickly, three thoughts, and then we'll conclude with one last thought. Simeon gives a message of three words. Number one, a message of promise. A message of salvation that was meant for you and for me. And he tells those that are listening around Mary and Joseph, and tells even them, that Jesus didn't come just for the Jews, that the Jews were to be a light unto who? The Gentiles, me and you. Secondly, there was a purpose that Jesus came. He was appointed for the rise and the fall of many, a sign to be opposed, and Jesus will be one who would reveal the hearts of men. Jesus would know what people were thinking before they ever said a word. Their true motives would be revealed. Jesus would be able to call people on the carpet for who they were and where they were, and yet love them, but speak the truth. And lastly, a message of pain. A message of pain for a mother. How many times we talk about Mary, and there's some that think that Mary is a co-redemptrix with Jesus, that she was perfect and never sinned, that she had no troubles or sorrows, that her life was perfect. But this scripture right here tells us that it's not the case. Even the mother of Jesus would suffer and watch her own son die. Heartbreaking thing for a mother. Lest you think that nobody understands your pain, Mary understands pain. Lastly, Anna's proclamation. Evidently, Anna comes on the scene a little bit after the fact that Simeon has found the child and is holding the child and is proclaiming these words over Jesus. And she comes into the middle of that conversation. And the Bible says, and I love this, she gave what? Thanks. She gave thanks. When is the last time outside of Thanksgiving Day that you stopped long enough to thank God for your salvation and for the blessings and the things that He has blessed you with? Anna was grateful to the Lord, thankful that she got to see Jesus. Lastly, she shared the great news of redemption. It tells us that she continually spoke to those who were looking for the Redeemer. I have no doubt it became the message of the rest of her life, the days that she lived. Any person that would listen to her, she said, I've seen the Messiah. I've seen him. The promised Redeemer has come. Friend, do you know that there are people in your life that are looking for the Redeemer? You know there are people in your school, in your fourth period class, students? Do you know there are people in your cubicle beside you at work? There are people in your neighborhood, there are people in your family that are looking for the Redeemer. Now they've never said to you, well, I don't know if I've told you lately, but I've been looking for the Redeemer. You're like, what? Right? They don't even know what the word Redeemer means probably. But they're looking. They're looking for something. They're looking for someone. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for joy. They're ultimately looking for Jesus. They just don't know it. But they need somebody like Anna who's willing to tell them, I've seen the redemption. I've seen the Redeemer. He's redeemed my life. And I just want you to know that you can have the same joy and peace and purpose in life and the promise and the security of heaven if you will but ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. So let me come back to the first question as I close this morning. Who or what are we seeking in our lives? Who am I looking for? My prayer, my hope for us is that we're looking for Jesus. For some of you this morning, maybe one or two, I don't know, you've been looking for something, but you've never been put your finger on what you're looking for. Can I just tell you this morning? His name is Jesus. And He has come, and this Christmas we just celebrated a few days ago, came and lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death on your behalf because He loved you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to miss hell and make heaven, to have an abundant life on this earth, to make a difference and to leave a legacy behind. You can do that as simple as asking God to forgive you of all of your sins, admitting to Him you're a sinner, that you need Him, that you cannot get rid of your sins on your own, that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that you confess Him as your Savior, that you cannot save yourself, and you commit your life to Him as Lord. For some of you, you came in looking this morning, and you didn't maybe realize what you were looking for. But how I pray, in the same vein that Simeon and Anna found Jesus, that this morning you would find Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. For some, you've already done that, but maybe you've never made it public. You've never been baptized like these this morning. I want to urge you to come. For some, to come and join this church family and be a part of this body of believers who are committed to engaging people with the hope of the gospel, to see lives transformed. We want you to do that if God calls you to do that. And lastly, are you and I this year going to daily seek and look for Jesus to be at work in our lives? Will we long for Him to be with Him, to spend time with Him in His word, in prayer, in worship? Will we be looking for Him to be at work in our lives, even in the midst of the darkest moments? God is there. We just have to look for Him. He's there. And sometimes it takes a church body to come around us and encourage us and remind us that He is there. Let's look for Jesus right now in our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we come to a time of invitation to seek God's heart of response for each of us this morning. God has a word for us. There is a word that I've mentioned all of these this morning. And I pray that you and I are listening for that still, small voice, that you'll have the courage to come and respond publicly to what Christ has done in your heart privately. For some of us, we need to come to this altar and just say, Lord, I'll be honest. I'm not sure I've really been led by the Spirit lately. I'm not sure I really long to be in your presence. I've missed looking for you in my life. For others to come and find Christ as Savior and Lord, to take Chris right by the hand and say, I want to know Christ. Maybe it's to come and pray for a lost friend or neighbor or coworker who's looking They just need somebody to tell them the truth. Maybe God's calling you to go on a mission trip to the ends of the earth. Be part of your bucket list, if you will, but a part of your yearly bucket list, not a one-time deal, but a lifestyle of going, giving. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about giving this morning. But whatever it is God is calling us to do, Lord, may we be obedient to do it in these moments. You would give us clean hands and a pure heart as we bow our hearts and our knees before you, our Lord and our Savior. God, move in these moments. We give them to you in Jesus' name.